right. So first of all, I just want to tell you a little bit about me, Jam Magic, how I came to be, how I got my name, how I got started. Well, it started out, I think I started out DJing when I was like 10 or 11. Yeah, my dad was a DJ, so I kind of was watching him when I was young. He was in the Air Force. He used to do all the, you know, NCO club dances, high school, middle school, all the, pretty much everything that was out there. And in the fourth grade, he would do our school dances. Yeah, I kind of remember him and the, you know, chaperones going in the back to play cards, and he'd tell me, okay, Eric, take over. So yeah, here I'm, this fourth grader, you know, and this was back in the day in the early 70s. And I remember he had this system. It was like, a case. You open the case up and there was two record players built into this thing with the mixer. It was all one unit, you know. And so, you know, I get up there and I do my little, back then it was just fading one song in, fade another one out, you know. So basically that's what I started doing, just fading songs in and out. Okay, so this was pretty much when I was in England. And then we moved to the Philippines. In 79 is when we moved to the Philippines. I was in the 8th grade, I think. And this is where I met up with DJ Bam, Daryl Lindsay. That was my partner. So me and Daryl would do, middle school dances, Lily Hill Middle School dances, and the teen center, teen club dances. My dad DJed at the club off base, and it was called the Flies Hideaway. All the people that know me know the Flies Hideaway. Anyway, on the weekends, they were live on radio. So they were, a radio station was in there, so they broadcast on the radio. And me and Devron Trout, my next door neighbor, a really good friend of mine, we used to listen to my dad at night, and we'd stay up, you know, listening to, you know, we have a little boombox and we have our ear tuned to the radio. And yeah, the one moment that really sticks out to me about then is, I remember I called in once, and I called in and I asked, I said, hey, can you tell my dad to play Oops Upside Your Head? And they said, yeah, okay, we'll tell him. So, you know, so me and Devron were listening to the radio station. And then we hear the beat start to come in, like, oh, there's my song. And my dad gets on the mic and he says, yeah, this song was requested by my son. And he said, and if you don't go to bed, my man, I'm going to go upside your head. And right when it said go upside your head, they came in and say, oops, upside your head. I mean, it was perfect. That was my dad. Everything was perfect. Timing was perfect. Everything had to be right on point, which later I'll get into because he's the one who made me the DJ I am. So anyway, we stayed in the Philippines for 4 years, and then we left and we went to Alaska. And in Alaska, that's when I really started to gel. Because in the Philippines, you know, I was mixing. Actually, in the Philippines, I was mixing nursery rhymes. That's how I started. I started mixing. Like, I put in Cinderella and different stuff in the mix with other, you know, songs. So that was my thing. Always putting in off-the-wall stuff. So in Alaska is when I really started gelling. Like I said, I started making money, and my dad really made me a partner because he started seeing the skills I had. Because in Alaska, I guess he came home one day and I had his tape deck and one of his turntables that was just in the house. You know, we just had those rack systems, you know, those, you had a turntable, you had a equalizer, a power amp, tape deck and all this crap. Well, I'd put this stuff on the floor. I had hooked up a mixer to it. So I had a song playing on the tape deck. And I was cutting up on the turntable. He happened to walk in the house when I was doing that. First, he got a little upset. He said, what the hell are you doing? But then he started listening. He said, wait a minute. Hey, you got something there. So it's funny because he actually right then and there said, you know, hey, let's go to the store real quick. So he ran out to, I don't know, some electronic store back then. He bought me two turntables, a mixer, a preamp, all kind of crap, you know. He said, here, play with this stuff. So I did. I started messing around. And I actually got really good. So So we started DJing together. Back then, they called me Dr. Jam. And of course, my dad was Mr. Magic. That was his DJ name. And so what he did was he put a show together. He said, we're going to spin together. We're going to be a show. You know, and that's one thing he always taught me. It's always about performing. So he called it the Jam Magic Show. Jam Magic Show. Yeah, DJ Jam Magic. There you go. That's how I got my name pretty much. Well, anyway, so we did this for a while. We spun everywhere. You know, big corporations, high school functions, you know, everything. You know, my dad taught me that everything has to be perfect. Everything has to, you know, just be on point. So me and my dad used to get in it back in the day because, you know, if you think about any professional athlete that is really great, they pretty much spent their childhood doing what it is they do now. They didn't have a lot of time for other stuff. Well, that's what my dad did to me. I mean, he would put me in that room with them turntables. And I mean, I had to know where every break and every record was, because our thing was, I'm going to start. Well, I'm being my dad. My dad said, when this music breaks, I'm going to start talking. That's when I'm going to introduce the next song or say what I have to say. And that's when you have to make sure you dropping that next beat, mixing that other beat in there. So I had to know where every break was, because the first break in the song, bam, we was in and out. So I spent a lot of time in my room. Luckily, all my friends in Alaska, they like my mixing stuff. So they spend a lot of time in that room with me. You know, I'll be in there sometimes. I have 7-8 people sitting out there just laying around and checking me out while I'm on the turntables. But anyway, we did that for a while. And then it came that time when my dad said, look, I'm too old for this crap. I don't know what he was talking about. I think he was only like 30-something. But anyway, he decided he had enough. And so I pretty much kept spinning, of course. And I kept the whole name. So, you know, I just called myself DJ Jam Magic, because everyone knew the Jam Magic Show. So I said, well, I got to keep my name. That's my name now. So that's how I got my name, people. Now you know. Anyway, you know, I did my thing. Matter of fact, in Alaska, I remember my first battle competition was in Alaska. And it was by accident, kind of. You know, I was DJing a high school dance, and we happened to have a DJ competition. And of course, I wasn't in it. I was the DJ. So we had this new crew, I guess. I don't know, it was two kids. They were from New York. And they entered it. Of course, they're from New York. You know, they won it. But they made one mistake. They started talking crap to me. So, you know, they were talking about how good they are, and they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, whatever. I don't remember what they were saying. This is a long time ago. This is back in 1983, or 84, 85, something like that. Anyway, so little did they know, I actually spun with three turntables. That was my thing. I always had three turntables hooked up, and I cut up with all three of them. So, you know, I said, well, you know, you want to challenge me in front of my crowd? You even lost your mind. I said, come on, let's do it. So they did their little routine, their little set, whatever it was they did. And of course, you know, I pulled the third turntable out the back, hooked up, and just blew them out of the building. It was kind of hilarious. That was my first battle. So also, I want to make note, okay, this is something that has aggravated me for a lot of years. And I'm getting this out right now. This was supposed to be posted in a magazine a long time ago. That never happened. Anyway, there's some kids out there. They're probably 20. Well, they may be 30 now. I don't know. I remember when they first started talking about, oh, we created the mashup. And if you don't know what mashups are, pretty much they're just songs put together from different genres. Like, you take a hip hop song and you mash it with a pop or rock song, you know. And that's all it is. It's pretty basic, actually. Well, I started that in 1983. Mark that down. Anybody want to claim they started mashups, they better go back way before 83. And I know nobody can. Anyway, so this is how I started doing a mashup. Again, my dad always taught me, you play for the pay, you know. So whoever pays big money, I don't care what kind of music they're listening to, that's where we're going. So, of course, in Alaska, pop, rock, you know, country, stuff like that. So we had to play all that stuff. So, Of course, being a 14, 15 year old kid, I didn't want to hear that crap. I wanted to hear some Run DMC, some, you know, stuff like that, some LL Cool J, you know. So one day I remember I was sitting in the room listening, you know, just listening to it was a Run DMC beat, actually, and thinking, man, how am I going to do this? I mean, I hate this music. I can't stand this music. I can't just sit here and play this all night. I got to do something. And I was playing a Run DMC beat, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere in my head, this song just started. I started singing it. It was a, I don't know if it was a pop or a rock song. I can't remember what it was. And I said, dang. So I jumped up. I went in my crates and found that record. And I, you know, back in the day, when you bought a 12-inch single, you got the instrumental, the acapella, the clean and the dirty version. So I put the instrumental version of that Run DMC song, so that beat, and I got the acapella version of that rock song, and I put them together, and I said, dang, that sounds dope. I was like, man, but will that fly? So I messed around with it for a while, and I let my dad hear it, and he liked it. So I went with it. So basically, that's how I started mixing, man. That's what I did. I was mixing different songs with instrumentals, with different acapellas. I mean, all night long, just switching back and forth. And mind you, with three turntables. So I had a pretty mess going on, but it was a good mess, you know. And that's another way I got a little AKA, Controlled Chaos. Someone called me Controlled Chaos one time. It's like, Controlled Chaos. And they're like, yeah, man, because you got so much going on, but it sounds good. Almost like chaos, but it's controlled. And the control man said, dang, I like that. So I kind of stuck with that, yeah. But anyway, and here's the thing. Back in the 80s, I mean, a 15-year-old kid, I mean, I wasn't thinking about, you know, what's it called? I can't remember what it's called. But, I mean, I was just thinking that, you know, that's just the way I mix. That's just my way of mixing. I didn't call it anything like mashups or anything like that. It was just mixing to me. So for y'all out there who think you created the mashups, it happened in 83. So anyway, well, I kept doing my thing in Alaska. And then in 1988, I moved to Florida. And Florida, I think in that time, I think it was like freestyle music was... It was freestyle and something else. I can't remember the music. I'm old. I can't remember a lot of stuff. But anyway, I remember it was back when they started transforming. So I get there and I keep doing my thing with my kind of mashing up. But then I kind of start getting more into mashing the same types of music. So instrumentals with different acapellas of different songs, same style. So I do that for a while. And, you know, I finally start getting some gigs. I start doing some clubs and different things like that. I'm starting to get my name out there. And then one day I had this idea. It's like I was going to see Orlando Magic game. And I was like, man, you know, I got to get, you know, back then Shaq had a studio. And Shaq was like one of those, he seemed like one of those approachable guys, like, you know, like a, just like a big kid. So I thought, man, I'm going to take a bunch of my mixes and I'm going to go to the arena. And I'm going to give him the Shaq and see, you know, if he likes it and if he helps me out some kind of way. You know, I was only 20, 21 years old, something like that, 22. Anyway, so I go to this game and there's a guy parking people. So he parks us and I get out with all these tapes in my hand. And he's looking at me like, damn, he said, you a DJ? I said, yeah, you know, and he rolled up his sleeve, and I'll never forget that day because that was the day that pretty much changed everything. He rolled up his sleeve, and his whole forearm was a tat, 69 Boys. I'm like, holy, everyone knows who the 69 Boys. I just freaked out. I was like, I gave him all my tapes. Said, hey, man, yeah, my name's DJ Jam Magic, you know, and this is me right here. I want to give you these, and you know, take them home. I gave him my phone number. I said, check these out if you like me, man. Just give me a call. Yeah, that was DJ Solo. He called me the next day and said, man, we got to hook up. And that was it, man. Then he brought me in to this different world, man. The 69 Boys, you know, 95 South, Quasi DJs, all this, you know, it was crazy. It was unreal. So we hook up. That's how I got to be with the 6ix9ine boys. Anyway, that's pretty much, well, there's more. Of course, I went on and, you know, had a blast after that, DJing, doing stuff. I had a time there where I actually got out of music for a while, and it was pretty crazy because I was like at the top of my career. I was booked in other states. I mean, I had all kind of stuff going on. I had a manager and I just, you know, people always talk about, you know, well, God, you know, God this, God that, you know. I'm going to tell you something. When God speaks to you, boy, you know it and you listen. And that's what happened to me. I mean, he just pretty much one day told me, that's it. Stop. Get rid of all this mess. Pretty much throw your stuff down and follow me. So, of course, that's what I did. I remember I had probably about 50 crates of records, my set of turntables, mixer, speakers, all kind of crap. And I sold it all in one day. I went to one of the clubs I used to spin at, and it was actually in Palm Bay, Florida, and I sold them everything. So then he took me on this trip. I mean, he pretty much took me out of music, and I didn't listen to anything pretty much for a while. And then I started going to church, of course. Then I started listening to Christian music. So I'm listening to this Christian music. And then all of a sudden, I started getting this itch again. See, now, all that time, I was away from the turntables. I had no lust for them turntables, none at all. I mean, when God takes something away from you like that, I mean, he usually takes that lust away, too. And that's how you know right there. So I started getting this itching back. So I bought me some more turntables, you know, put them together. I started mixing Christian music. You know, I was actually a sound guy at one of the churches in Merritt Island, Florida. So I started mixing this Christian music. And it's like, yeah, it sounds pretty good. And then I'm introduced to Christian rap. I was like, Christian rap? Christian's rap? I said, okay. I thought, okay, all right, well. And so I started listening to Christian rap music. I started mixing that, cutting it up and everything. And just so you know, I mean, God's teaching me something right now. He's teaching me a lesson, and I'm in class. So after a while, you know, he says, okay, I've gave this to you. See, now, you know, go listen to your music. So here I go. I was like, oh, shoot, I'm back in the world. But I started listening to that rap music. And then it hits me. I mean, it's almost like someone hit me in the head and I just fell down and woke up. It's like, oh, snap, here it is. Here's the message. So this is what God taught me. He said, there is nothing wrong with music. Music is awesome. Music is instruments. The problem is the message. And that's what he wanted me to see. All that music that I was playing had all that craziness in it, talking about, you know, doing this and like the way the rap industry is now, talking about, you know, all these cuss words and all this craziness, you know, it's pretty much destroying our kids. And that's what's happening. So, anyway, to get back on track, that's pretty much why this podcast I'm starting. It's going to be all old school, you know, back before all the craziness, you know, go back to when people were just singing and, you know, and rapping, but not, and there's rapping about, you know, what they was doing, not rapping about what they got and what they gonna do and guns and all that stuff. So, you know, that's a little bit about DJ Jam Magic, how I came around. There's a lot more, but I ain't got that much time. So I'm just gonna end it here. Now you guys know a little bit about me.